Anyway, we're very privileged today to open our session with an address from Joseph Healy, who's Group Executive Business Banking at National Australia Bank. But just before I introduce Joseph, can I just ask everyone to make sure their mobile phones are either turned on to silent or off? We'll also encourage you to participate on the SMS questions, which while Joseph's speaking, you can start feeding through, and we'll be able to have a Q&A session at the end of with Joseph at the end of his address, which should go for around about 20 minutes. Joseph was appointed the Group Business Executive for Business Banking in March 2009 at National Australia Bank, and is responsible for all of the bank's relationships with small, medium-sized and large businesses, including financial institutions and private clients. He's also responsible for the group's activities in the Asian region and offices in London and New York. Prior to joining NAB, he was Managing Director Global Client Relationship Banking at ANZ Bank and previously worked in London for Lloyds Bank, the CIBC, World Markets and Citicorp, so clearly a senior career banker. So, Joseph, can I ask you to come and join us and ask you to welcome Joseph. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tony, and good morning, everyone. I thank you to the Actuaries Institute for the invitation to speak today. It's a real pleasure to be here. As Tony alluded to in his opening introductory remarks, I am a career banker, and one of the reasons why I feel that I can make a contribution to today's forum is that in the 30-odd years that I've been a banker in various banks and jurisdictions, I've seen a lot of things, as you would expect. I've seen small businesses become very successful large businesses. I've seen some large businesses become very small, unsuccessful businesses. I've seen businesses face into risks and mismanage them, businesses not recognizing the risks that they are actually dealing with. And I've seen a whole range of experiences that, to my mind, really brings to the forefront the importance of enterprise risk management as a core business discipline, and that's part of the theme that I'm going to talk about this morning. In my address, I'm just going to talk about where I see enterprise risk management today and where I see it heading in the next 5 years. My comments are not confined to NAB or the banking sector, but I will touch on the banking sector and the regulatory aspects of that in my remarks, but my comments are much more general in nature about the criticality of enterprise risk management to the way that well-managed businesses are run and to the risks that poorly managed businesses face, and not recognizing enterprise risk management as being, in my view, at least, or hopefully it will become at least, on an equal footing with finance and with strategy in the way that leadership thinks about the disciplines, the critical disciplines in running a business. That's a lofty aspiration, but I think it's an aspiration that well-run businesses should, and particularly in this world that we're in today, should aspire to. And let me just reflect a little bit on the world that we're in today without spending too much time on that. I mean, the degree of change that we are seeing in the business landscape and in society, I would argue, over the last 5 to 10 years is almost without precedent in the lives of anyone in this room. You can look at the impact of the digital world. You can look at the impact of the global nature of business, of economics, and of society. The way the issues in one part of the world are very quickly brought into our living rooms and our boardrooms in a way that was never true not that many years ago. And we've seen, as a result of that, and particularly since the GFC, we've seen significant changes in the business landscape, in the global economic landscape, of course, as well, with China, the emergence of China, the problems that we see in Europe, the issues that the United States have had to face into. When you look at industries, you see some industries in decline, new industries forming. I mean, I always find it fascinating that when you look at the Fortune 100 companies today, only 15 of the Fortune 100 companies today were in the Fortune 100 companies 20 years ago, you know, which is not a long time ago. Now, some of that change that business faces into is just what Joseph Schumpeter called creative destruction, just the natural ebb and flow of industry change. But my experience tells me that a lot of businesses fail because they fundamentally misunderstood the importance of risk management at an enterprise level. And this includes banks as well, because you only have to think about the modern history of the banking industry over the last few years to see how many banks could have failed in other jurisdictions had it not been for the intervention of government and government agencies to prop them up. Now, banks, of all the industries and institutions that you look around the world, with insurance companies, other financial services players, are supposed to be masters of risk management, but we clearly, the lessons of the last few years has highlighted that as a fallacy. So I think that risk management is, enterprise risk management is something that we have to work hard at in establishing as a core business discipline. And picking up on a point that Tony made in his opening remarks, work hard at embedding it in the culture of an organization, regardless of the industry that that organization is in. And again, my experience tells me, when I look at the mistakes that businesses make, some of which result in losses to the bank, so often you could say that if management had been across these issues, had thought about risk in the same way that they think about sales and marketing, had thought about the risk in the same way that they think about strategy, then we would have had a very, very different outcome. But the reality, of course, is that risk management is immature, as Tony said, as a business discipline. And the challenge is, how do we develop risk management into the core as a critical business discipline? Now, of course, in the banking sector and across the finance sector more generally, the regulators have played a big role in, quotes, forcing the banks to fast-track their engagement and embracement of risk management from the rudimentary nature of risk management generally that we saw leading into the GFC to really now having it as the arguably the single most important, or certainly one of the two or three most important things on the agenda of any board or leadership team within a financial services company. What is happening in the industry right now is that risk management is new standards are being defined, largely regulatory driven, but in the best run organizations, the leadership team is seeing that the extent to which the company can embrace risk management into the culture, into the way that things are done, the way that people talk, act, and think, then you can actually create a competitive edge, certainly a much stronger competitive position than would otherwise be the case. When I look around the business landscape today and, secondhand look at the financial institutions around the world, I see three real categories of institutions. I see those businesses that aspire to be world leaders, best practice in enterprise risk management, where they are working hard at ingraining it through the culture. But cultural change, of course, is not something that you do with a flick of your fingers or a flick of a switch. Cultural change is something that has to be worked at slowly, gradually, purposely over time so that it is truly embedded in the way that the organization operates. But there are great examples, and I would put my own institution, NAB, as an example of a company that is committed to best practice, not standard practice, but to best practice when it comes to enterprise risk management. Then I look at other institutions that I consider to be poor examples of businesses embracing enterprise risk management. And when I say poor examples, what I see are companies that have a perfunctory engagement. They have the policies, the procedures. On the outside, they look as if they have all of the right architecture and frameworks in place. But it's a footnote in the dialogue that takes place at the executive committee and at the board. It is almost a chore. Have we met the requirements would be the question, rather than how are we going with the embedding of culture, the cultural change on enterprise risk management. What are our training programs and our incentive programs? How do they line up with best practice enterprise risk management? So I see those two extremes. And then in the middle, there is another group of businesses which, to borrow a phrase from Michael Porter's competitive strategy, they're stuck in the middle. there's a constituency within the businesses that want to build a true enterprise risk management, but the organisation is not there in the way that in best practice you find organisations are. The CEO and the leadership team is not leading by example. The incentive systems are not truly aligned to best practice from an enterprise risk management perspective. And I worry greatly about the moral hazard, what I would call the moral hazard risk, of those institutions that have all of the evidence on the surface of enterprise risk management, but it isn't, there's no commitment to embedding it in the way that the company operates. And I think those companies stuck in the middle are the ones that are prone, arguably prone, to making a lot more mistakes, some of which can be quite threatening to the survival, certainly to the reputation of the business. So when I look at the world today, I see those different types of institutions when it comes to embracing enterprise risk management. But I am absolutely convinced that those businesses that truly want to survive and succeed in this fast-changing world will be businesses that embrace enterprise risk management and move it from its immature stage, as Tony mentioned in his comments, which I entirely agree with, to a long-term commitment over 3 to 5 years to building businesses that have enterprise risk management at the core of the way they think about strategy, of the way they think about the options that they have and the investment decisions they make and the type of people that they hire and the way that they reward people, the way that they invest their money and the way that they think about new opportunities. I think it's critical that enterprise risk management, as I've said already, is seen as on an equal footing with the long-standing and well-developed disciplines of finance, strategy, and I would say in best practice companies, HR. So where do I think we'll be to, in fact, if I was looking at a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being at base camp, language is understood but not really part of the way businesses operate, and 10 being world best practice, my general sense of the business landscape today is that we're probably at a 2 or 3 out of 10 as a general statement. There are some institutions that are 7, 8, and 9, but the majority, I think, are sitting at that 2 or 3. In 5 years, we've got to move. There has to be a commitment for best practice businesses to be 7, 8 on that scale of 1 to 10, and to see enterprise risk management as very much part of the DNA of the company. For that to happen, there's got to be leadership at the top. It's very important. This isn't just the responsibility of the risk management function. Risk management has to be seen as an accountability of all of the key people in the company. It has to be understood as a primary responsibility of everybody, in the same way that proper financing and sensible due diligence around the way that you conduct your operations is seen as something that has to be done properly. And the same must be true with risk management. So just in concluding, I feel that we are at the start of a new era on risk management. I mean, the whole profession, and I call it a profession, has come a long way in the last 3 or 4 years. The GFC was good for risk management, bad for businesses who quickly understood that deficiencies in risk management and the risk management cultures were a major factor in the consequences that we've seen from the GFC. But I think what we're going to see going forward is much more investment in risk management at an enterprise level, not simply at credit risk management or operational risk management or reputation risk management, but taking a holistic view of what good risk management can mean to a business and what poor risk management can equally mean to a business. The challenge going forward is going to be a leadership challenge. Leadership CEOs, leadership teams have got to talk about enterprise risk management in the same way that they talk about other core disciplines within the company. But in 5 years' time, I feel confident, not because of regulatory pressure, which actually I think has been good for many institutions, but because well-run businesses will understand the importance of enterprise risk management and will place the right kind of weight towards enterprise risk management and their own investment. And I think we will see enterprise risk management being much more visible in the way that well-run businesses are run in the future. Just finally, for those of you in the room who are thinking about risk management as a career option, My advice is that the stars are aligned. It's going to be one of the big growth areas in professional development over the years to come, and I think that'll be the case way into the future. That, I think, is one of the positive things, if you're looking for a positive thing, that came out of the global financial crisis. Risk management is now front and centre in the way that well-run businesses should think, talk and act. So on that note, I might stop, and I'm very happy to take any questions that anybody might have. And I might join you, Tony, if that's...
Yeah, why don't you okay. join me over here?
I might take the liberty of kicking the proceedings off with Joseph. I think you've acknowledged that improved risk management is clearly a necessity, and you've more or less said we're 2 or 3 out of 10 on the scale, and certainly if you look at things like what happened to JP Morgan and the London Whale exercise and what happened to HSBC with, shall we say, anti-money laundering failures is probably a kind way of putting it. Clearly there's still a long way to go even after the GFC. I mean, the GFC was nearly 6 years ago now. How do you see the landscape unfolding over the next couple of years? What are the central steps that you think companies, you know, in the financial services industry particularly, will need to take to try to stop this, you know, series of quite unfortunate events that still seem to beset the industry?
Well, I think... this working? Yeah, sorry. I think one of the major changes that we've seen in the financial services industry, and I think this is true certainly of large business, is that businesses have moved away from seeing shareholder value as being the primary driver of the way they should be running the business, and recognise the importance of stakeholders, of a wider range of stakeholders, including the regulator. And I think that now some businesses are, and institutions are more advanced in their recognition that we are living, big business particularly is living in a stakeholder management world rather than a narrowly shareholder value management world, although shareholder value will always be important. And I think that has to be reflected in the way that businesses are governed and the disciplines that they have in place and the balance of disciplines that they've had in place. I think the risk management profession and risk management philosophy has had to do a lot of catching up over the course of the last 5 to 7 years. I mean, it was always evident in a company, but it was not always evident that it was centre stage, as I describe it. And so it's come a long way. I think that commitment to continuing to invest in risk management, to use risk management in the way that businesses talk and communicate and demonstrate clear commitment and alignment, is something that's going to take a few more years. But I do acknowledge the progress that's been made. But the challenge is that risk management had a long way to come, as evidenced by the GFC, but what hasn't changed is the environment and the complexity of the environment in which businesses operate. So a long way to come just to catch up, but there's a long journey in front of it. And I do feel, as a, generally speaking, that 2 to 3, and in some cases, in some of the businesses that I speak to, 2 to 3 would be quite a generous accreditation. Yeah. But I'm sounding critical. I don't mean to be critical, because this, the awareness around risk management was a big wake-up call, I feel, for businesses, not just for financial services companies, in recent years. I mean, risk management now, I think, in all well-run companies, is a direct report to the CEO and quite often a direct report into the board. And it has the respect and the investment that it deserves. But I find sometimes the cultural aspect, which is going to be critical to all of this, because policies and procedures are not enough. It has to be deeply embedded in the culture. And anybody who's been involved in cultural change in an organization knows that cultural change is not something you can fast-track. Perhaps in a crisis you can, but generally speaking, it's something that is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, actually, one of the most interesting pieces of academic research that I think came out of the GFC about 18 months ago over in the States, there was a study done which looked at a whole range of banks and insurance companies and basically looked for a whole lot of measures, you know, quantitative measures, to see if they could work out whether they could predict, you know, the company's response through the GFC and whether the organisation had been successful or not. And basically, although they tested many different parameters, what they found, there was one parameter that actually scored very highly in correlating a prediction of whether or not the organisation would get through the GFC or not. And it was essentially the ratio of the remuneration of the chief risk officer to the remuneration of the chief executive officer. The ratio between the two. And obviously, where the ratio was the chief executive officer was relatively highly paid relative to the chief risk officer, meaning, of course, that the chief risk officer didn't have very much influence in the organisation, guess what? They didn't do very well going through the crisis period. Conversely, the ones that had very high remuneration relative to the chief executive, meaning they do have some influence and with their peers, did surprisingly well. So I think it shows you that culturally, if an organisation gets serious about giving real influence to the risk operation, and that pervades through the organisation, I mean, it's a pretty clear indicator of what could loosely be called power. I guess the question I would ask to you is, do you see that power shift beginning to happen now in some organisations?
Oh, I do. But I reflect on this quite a lot and speaking to my colleagues. I mean, I can remember back in the late 80s when I was at Citibank, and Citibank is by no means today would not be seen as a role model when it comes to risk management back through the GFC. But I do remember back in the late 80s, Citibank had a very strong risk management culture. And all of the senior executives within the bank had, at some stage in their career, spent a considerable part of their career in risk management. And I remember as a relatively young, ambitious banker looking for a career path that would lead me to close to the customer, the advice I had then was to spend 2 years in risk management and credit risk management and markets risk management, and it was the best career investment that I ever made. But unfortunately, the emphasis placed on risk management changed quite dramatically in a lot of institutions and in industries when we got into the early 90s. I think a lot of it was to do with the deregulation that took place, the emphasis on sales and growing, the kind of recruitment that took place in many firms, just changed the whole culture and dynamic. My view around, certainly talking from a financial institution or a banking perspective, that history provides a lot of guidance to what should be done in the future about in building a strong risk culture in the way that banks should be run. There's no need to invent anything new.
Which leads us very neatly into a couple of the questions that are starting to come through. How would you go about the business of assessing the risk culture in your own business, and what can we do to better understand and measure a risk culture?
Well, I think for me, very careful, first of all, in the hiring and promoting of key people. I mean, in the banking industry, risk management has to be a core competency. In senior positions, you have to have people who understand risk management, who have a strong affinity to risk management. And that is evident in the way that they talk, in the way that they communicate with you and their people. The way that they talk about ideas, about new business opportunities, they'll very quickly get on to the key risks and how they can be managed. I mean, risk, there's nothing wrong with risk. You know, there's nothing wrong with risk, but what is wrong is where risk is misaligned with strategy, where it's misguided, where it's poorly executed, and where it's mispriced. In other words, where people are surprised that you've done something. But the irony is that the stronger you are at risk management and the culture of your organization, then the more risks you should be able to take. So I put a lot of emphasis on the way that people are, the way people think about their businesses and the risks, that their instinctive sense that something might be wrong before it's evident in any reports. Their ability to watch out for the so-called blacks. We spend every quarter in my executive team. We'll spend 3 hours on a round table black. You know, what are the black swans that you see in the economy, you know, that might impact our customers and therefore impact the business. And doing that as a discipline, and even at a board level, you know, I encourage some of our clients to have black swan sessions. Think freely about some of those improbable events that, if they occurred, could have huge ramifications, and which, post the event, you might find yourself saying, well, we should have seen that happening. So this cybersecurity is a great example of, you know, a potential black swan type issue. So leadership teams encourage their teams to devote some time to brainstorming these issues are helping to embed risk management thinking in the way that people think about the businesses. So I put a lot of emphasis on the way that people communicate with me and their instinctive sense for things.
So what two or three things would you sort of really focus on to go down the path of improving risk culture and awareness in the organisation and try to embed it?
Well, I think there's training and education, there's communication, and then there's the way that you incentivize people. I mean, in the scorecards or the balanced scorecards that people have, I believe that risk management should be called out with a significant weighting. It'll depend, but in a leadership team in a financial services company, if it has less than 20% weighting, then I don't think that's satisfactory. So I think the training and education, I mean, there is a need to give people the tools, the theory and the tools, and listening to practical experience, you know, of what the risks of the history of the company, the history of the industry, and the risks that the company has taken that have gone wrong, and why, and the lessons that have been learned. So education is a big piece. Communication, the tone from the top, the consistency of communication, and then the incentive arrangements, which have to really reinforce risk management.
Just to be a bit, sort of try to flesh that out a bit, do you mean, you know, if there's been a negative, shall we say, a negative event that shouldn't have happened, that impacts bonus, or are you thinking of scores in risk culture surveys or combination thereof?
The combination of, but I think certainly when it comes to incentives, I think, you know, clearly where there have been events that could have been better risk managed, then there has to be consequences. Otherwise, it loses its legitimacy. There has to be consequences. And just in the same way that we reward good risk management, we should, you know, penalise poor risk management. And I would include in that, you know, the idea that you should have known. It's not good enough to say that we complied with the policies or we complied with the law. Senior people should be paid to think through all of the ramifications and to identify risks that are not necessarily evident but could emerge, and take steps. It's not good enough, incidentally, as John Maynard Keynes once said, that the sign of a good banker is not someone who loses money, but someone who loses money along with all of his peers. And a lot of our industry, you know, people say, well, we all lost money on commercial real estate, or we all lost money in our exposures to Brazil, therefore I did nothing wrong. But we know from the examples of businesses that really understand risk management that they actually avoid some of those risks.
So how do you try to assess, you know, I think you're certainly saying NAB is aspiring to be at the best practice end of risk management. How do you sort of assess whether you really feel you are relative to your obvious competitors, if I can put it that way, or even to best practice worldwide?
Well, I think you know, the framework, I would describe it as the hardware and the software. The hardware is making sure that you have all of the right policies and procedures in place, that demonstrate that you're complying with the policies that you established, with the regulatory requirements, and that the standards around you know, compliance are quantified, measured, and reported on. But that's almost hygiene in nature, and I would describe that as the hardware. The software is the culture, is the extent to which, using one measure, you know, how many of our best talented people want to go and work in risk management and really get, as part of their career development, a strong training in risk management. That, to me, would be a sign of an organization that's committed
to building risk management into its culture. And there's a number of other software measures that I would use, but I think that the standard measurement systems that you have to have in place are there for a whole range of reasons, including regulatory requirements and board governance oversight. But well run risk management is deeply embedded goes well beyond that. Mm. It goes well beyond that, and there are symbolic things that companies can do just to reinforce that point. But I certainly think that the career path for senior people in financial services companies in particular, but not just financial services companies, should have as a prerequisite for those aspiring to the top, is that they should spend a part of their career in risk management. And I think then you're building a sustainable risk culture and therefore a much stronger organisation as a result.
If it's seen as a positive step in a career, then clearly, you know, that's an important thing in itself in promoting risk management as a function within the organisation.
Absolutely critical. Because people look at where senior talent in the company or the best talent in the company wants to work. They also look at how the company promotes people and the kind of capabilities that they're looking for. And if they see an emphasis on risk management, if they hear the CEO and the senior leadership team emphasizing the importance of the skills and experience, then you'll quickly find that can move the changes in the culture and organization.
Mm. And one final question that I thought might be interesting, given the interest in your organization in ERM generally, do you look at other organisations you're dealing with and customers you mentioned earlier, and particularly presumably other financial institutions, yeah, and try to assess what you think of the quality of their risk management and therefore the price at which presumably you're prepared to lend them money?
Yes. No, I most definitely do. And we're NAB has around about 25% share of the business lending market, and a critical part of our assessment of businesses, small and large, is, and particularly in the mid to the fast-growing businesses, moving from mid to large, is just how in tune are they with risks in the business. And we do try to help, even with larger companies, running board sessions along the lines of the Black Swan brainstorming session. Or what would you do if the Chinese economy crashed? What would it mean to your business? And really thinking through all of the ramifications, and what would happen if there's a big correction in this asset class or that asset class? What would you do? Now, the thing is that when you think like that and you've been in an environment that does that quite naturally, you assume that others do it as well. That is not the case. I mean, the vast majority of companies, large companies, some of the big household names that you would all know, not just here in Australia but around the world, have a lot of work to do to get close to 2 or 3 on my 1 to 10 spectrum of how embedded risk management is in the way that people think, talk and plan.
Okay. Well, I think we've reached the point where we need to move on with the timetable, Joseph, but thank you very much. I think that's been an excellent start to our seminar today and quite revealing, I think, some of the insights you've been able to give us about the risk management functions in large bank and in financial services generally. Particularly interested in your final comments there about, because if ever something will help spread risk management or better risk management even more widely, I think if banks are taking that attitude to the way in which they're going to price how they're going to lend to people and get that message through, that will obviously have an effect as well. So thank you very much. I think someone here has something that to give to you. Sorry, where is it, Lisa? Anyway, while we're just sorting that out, can I ask you all to thank Joseph very much and move away. Thank you very much.